Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of the St. Louis Collaborative Family Law Association podcast. Today, 5 serious financial pitfalls in divorce. Today, I'll be speaking with Laura J. Bogis of Hightower St. Louis LLC. Laura J. Bogis made a career move to wealth management in 2009 and has never looked back. She's part of the team at Hightower St. Louis, where she assists clients in the complex aspects of their wealth management needs, from education to strategic planning, estate planning to succession considerations for business, all the way through investment portfolio review and complex wealth management issues. Laura holds the designations of Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, known as CDFA, and the Retirement Income Certified Professional, or RICP. Laura is particularly interested in helping couples and individuals navigate divorce, and as a member of the Collaborative Family Law Association of St. Louis, she actively works to promote collaboration as a healthier, more constructive way to divorce. And I'm Cynthia Garnholz with the Garnholz Law Firm in St. Louis. I'm a collaborative family law attorney and mediator in practice for over 30 years. I'm also a founding member of the Collaborative Family Law Association of St. Louis. I currently serve on the Board of Governors and as chair of the Family Law Section of the Bar Association of Metropolitan St. Louis. Laura J. Bogis, welcome.
Hello.
Laura, I know you're a very experienced financial advisor, and as such, when you're working in a divorce case, what's the first bit of advice you might give someone going through the process?
You know, really the first thing is to separate your finance from your romance. So there's this problem that we all have, and I am a divorcee myself, so I'm very familiar with this problem, which is mixing money and emotion. Money actually has emotion attached to it for most people because it represents security and safety. So when you're going through that divorce process, it's a very emotional time. There's a ton of change, and it's very scary for many, many people going through that. And so that first bit of advice, separate your finance from your romance, or in a divorce setting, it's probably like your lack of romance. If you can, and if it's at all possible, separate your emotions, put them in a box on the side, and try to remember that you are in the process in a divorce of separating your assets, really, between you and your soon-to-be ex. So do your crying at home or in your therapist's office. Try not to do that in your attorney's office because that can be a very expensive bit of crying. Don't let guilt rule you. If you feel guilty about something or any failures that you may have had in the marriage, you want to almost try to see if you can't put that aside, because otherwise you might be tempted to give him everything out of guilt. And that's just not necessary, and it's not good for you moving forward. And I'm saying him because I'm talking to a woman, so let's go with men and women here and say, don't give him or her everything out of guilt. Don't let guilt rule you. Don't use money as a weapon. This is an extremely important lesson for most of us as we go through this process. Using money as a weapon really elongates the process, and it's very expensive and not very effective. You wind up having less money to split because it went outside the marriage to try to get the divorce. So you want to be smart about that.
Well, that sounds like good advice. But, Laura, what if a person is really sort of mired in the divorce process and they don't know much about financial issues in general, or maybe they know something in general but not much about the family's financial issues in particular? Should that person just throw up their hands in the air and give up, or what should they do?
Oh, my goodness, no. That would be exactly the opposite of that. I would say that in this case, an ostrich isn't going to win a race. If you've got your head in the sand, you can't even move. And ignorance is definitely not bliss in a divorce setting. So if you've been the spouse in the relationship who opted not to learn about what was happening in the family finances, now is the time to learn as much as you can about your finances. You want to learn as much as you can about the legal process, about how divorce works in your state, what documents will you need to gather. Are there a number of ways to go through a divorce? And there really are. I mean, we talk about four choices being, basically a tabletop negotiation between the two of you, mediation, collaboration, which we can talk a little bit about, and then litigation. But there really are any number of ways to combine those four methods to get through the divorce in a healthier way. Collaborative would be a great setting for a lot of folks who have never really heard of it, which is where each of you hire your own attorney, but that attorney needs to be a collaboratively trained attorney because there are lots and lots of things to know and understand about how in a collaborative setting you'll all come to the table together so that the two of you really can dictate and guide and lead yourselves through the process in a transparent fashion, but with that legal representative at your side. So that's just a great method to look into. You can find out more about that on the CFLA website. So learn as much as you can about the legal process. Learn about your finances. Review your credit card charges, your debt charges, your bank statements. Get a feel for your expenses. Know what you're spending and where you're spending it. Know what the income coming is. Review brokerage statements to see what's being deposited and withdrawn, and get a financial professional to help you as needed. That's often where I'll step into a divorce case is, when there's some confusion or a lack of knowledge about what's happening in the family finances.
They will bring you a bunch of financial documents, and then you will help them understand what's going on.
Absolutely.
With the family finances.
Yes. So that can start with just explaining how to read a brokerage statement, which are complex. They're complicated. So never any shame in asking for that help. Everything right down to working hand in hand with the attorney to make sure that the split is everything that you want it to be and that you're comfortable with that final settlement offer. The other thing, I guess, in this ignorance is not bliss category, Cynthia, is to be sure that you learn about the family and emotional issues so that you understand what is going to be happening through the divorce process, not only for you, but for your ex as well and for your children if you have any, as well as any extended family members. This is a good reason to potentially talk to a counselor or a therapist about how to work through the divorce process on an emotional level. Again, keeping that emotion in that therapeutic space and out of your divorce attorney's office so that the divorce attorney can then focus really on doing what's legally and best for you down the road. This is also not a bad time to explore your career options. So if you've been at home or you've dedicated yourself to the relationship in that way by staying home and being supportive of an earning spouse, it's a good time to check in with yourself and say, okay, what are the things that I wanted to do that I didn't do, but that now I may need to do? And it's a good time to do that.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying, don't bury your head in the sand, don't be an ostrich, and don't let your emotions control you. But what about the more detailed aspects, the more tactical aspects of going through a divorce? What do you recommend when it really is time to dig in and sort of get into the weeds?
Well, yeah, okay. So this is where you'll need to be large and in charge. That's kind of how I like to talk to my clients about that. So not taking control is a problem for folks who, this is one of those financial pitfalls where If you choose to let ignorance and emotions rule the day and you fail to take control, there will be some issues for you. You'll never feel like you really got a fair settlement. You may never know, and that lack of knowing creates a lot of insecurity. So what we want to do is help you have that security of knowing that you knew what was going on and you made some good choices based on all of the information. So taking control can look like a number of different things, but I want to start with making sure that you really pay attention to your attorney. Cynthia, you're a great attorney, and I know that your clients trust you, and that's why they hire you. So you want to make sure that you're listening to your attorney's advice, but also remember that those ultimate decisions are up to you. This is your life. It's your future. Your attorney is going to recommend what he or she thinks is ultimately best for you, but you're really the one that gets to make that choice. So remember that. Then a couple of other more tactical items. One would be sometimes it's really better to get a lump sum. So this is where that ugly maintenance conversation can come in. And Cynthia, I'm sure you've had lots of experience with these conversations.
Yeah.
A lot of folks really have an aversion to paying maintenance and or receiving maintenance because then you're really tied together for some period of time by that monthly check going back and forth. So as a financial advisor working in divorce settings, a lot of times we do explore whether or not a lump sum is possible instead of ongoing maintenance. It's a bigger conversation than we can get into right here, right now, but we do want to put that out there as one of those methods for avoiding being tied long-term. It may require that you use a specific legal form called a qualified domestic relations order, which an attorney can draw up for you. We also call them a quadro. It would then give you a share of a retirement account that would be transferred to you via an IRA. So you can do it that way, or you can do a lump sum with after-tax dollars from a savings account, a brokerage account, something along those lines. But that's one solution to a maintenance dilemma. The other thing that you can do and that I highly recommend, if your state doesn't require it already, you want to look at protecting any support you're receiving via maintenance or child support with a life insurance policy so that if something unfortunate would happen to the payor, you as the payee would be able to collect a death benefit that would cover the remainder of that child support agreement or that that maintenance amount. If the payor unfortunately meets an early demise, your support ends, and that's not ideal for lots of families. So we want to make sure that you have a conversation with your attorney about protecting your support with life insurance. And in some cases, it doesn't come up as often, probably should. Your support should be protected by disability insurance as well. So those are some of my ideas for tactics that you want to make sure you take a look at as you get into the process.
Oh, that's great advice. And just for the listeners' information, there is a podcast, an earlier podcast, I believe it's the second podcast, on the topic of maintenance, which they should listen to when they're facing decisions about maintenance. So, Laura, tell us, what other kinds of issues have you experienced, both yourself and with your clients?
Yeah, you know what I did? I actually threw in the towel. And that's one of the pitfalls that we can get into in the divorce setting, which is really not fighting for what's rightfully yours. I experienced where I just got to a point in the process where I said, you know, the heck with it. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I just want to get on with my life. And I basically threw in the towel and gave up some things that, quite frankly, later on, I wished I had not given up and that I still had access to. But, for the sake of being nice, sometimes we will sacrifice our own needs. Well, you know, divorce is really about your future and your, ongoing financial survival. And unfortunately, manners are not always the first thing on the priority list in that process. For those of us that are really nice, that can be a difficult choice, but we really want to take a deep breath in those moments when we want to give up and sleep on that and ask our advisors about that and make sure that we make good decisions for our future and for the future of our families. The other thing that comes into this category is you want to make sure that you're including all of your needs in your budget. So don't miss things like the cost of health insurance or educating your kids or saving for your future. Those things all need to be considered. Don't miss those. And then the last thing I'll mention in this category is not to underestimate your needs. Remember that the alimony you get, especially in 2018, will be taxable to you if you're receiving it. That's going to change in 19, which is going to lead me right back to recommending that you find a really great collaboratively trained attorney to help you and your soon-to-be with this. So you want to make sure that as you're working through this process, you're considering everything financial for your needs, for your children's needs, and your tax status as well, because all of those things will play in. You may wind up having less than you thought you were going to have initially, and nobody wants that for you. So finding that right financial advisor, that right attorney, is going to make a big difference in this process.
That's definitely true. Well, Laura Bogis, to wrap up, any last bits of wisdom you want to offer today?
Yes. One of the worst things you can do is not to get good professional advice as you get into this process. You know, so many people come in and they say, well, you know, we think we can do this fairly quickly. Can we just do this on $500? Well, my answer generally is you didn't spend, you know, $500 in 2 weeks getting married in most cases. Getting a divorce is not going to be any faster and in some cases less costly. So what you want to do is find a team of people that you know, like, and trust. I tend to sometimes refer to this as your red cape brigade. So you want to create this team of cape-wearing professionals around you. So whether you go through mediation or more traditional channels, you're still going to want a good attorney to talk to through the divorce. So in that case, you're going to need a mediator and one, if not two, divorce attorneys, family law attorneys, to help make sure that you're making good decisions for yourself and your family. You may also need to find that therapist, and you might want to join a divorce support group as well. And, of course, I can't leave without saying that good financial advice is really imperative as well. I'm happy to meet with you. There are others in your market that are happy to meet with you. Be sure that they talk with you about what they would be doing for you, what they charge, and how they can help to make sure that you get the best possible settlement for yourself, for your ex, and for your family.
Well, it sounds to me like your collaborative team could definitely be your red cape brigade.
Correct? Yes, exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we do have some fun with that, right? So
that is definitely true.
Well,
Laura,
all have to be
thank
druggers.
You so much for sharing your wisdom on this topic. I know that you wanted to give credit to Janita Wall and Wife, WIFE.org, and Second Saturday Divorce Workshops for Women for content in our conversation.
Yes,
thank
you for that.
Thank you so much. All right.
You're so welcome. Thank you.